want to talk specifically on the subject of temptation. Show of hands, how many people in this room have ever found yourself in temptation? Raise your hand. The people that don't, you are lying in church right now. Amen. Like all of us have, right? Here's another show of hands. How many have ever fallen to temptation before? Raise your hand. Every single one of us have fallen to temptation. And so, you know, as we talk about temptation, I don't want to just talk about it and what it is, though we'll do that. I want to talk about how to resist in temptation, how to win in temptation, because as we all know, temptation happens to all of us, and it comes to us in attractive and fascinating packages. That's the very nature of what it is and why it's tempting, right? The definition of temptation is to entice with attraction, meaning our desires play a role inside of it. James chapter 1 and verse 14 says, temptation comes from our own, let's all say the next word together, desires, right? Which entice us and drag us away. So how many know the desires in us can destroy us as much as they can bless us? And we will regularly find ourselves in temptation. It's just something that we simply cannot escape as people. I mean, temptation comes with us. Even came to Christ. Christ himself was tempted. We find that in Luke chapter 4. And mind you, it's chapter 4. I mean, it's essentially at the beginning. He hadn't even started his ministry yet, because you got chapters 1 and 2. It's all about his birth, descriptions around his birth. The end of chapter 2, you kind of get this small window of Jesus' teenage years, right? And then chapter 3, he's getting baptized. That's what the whole chapter's about in Luke chapter 3. And right at the tail end of the chapter in chapter 3, it says in verse 21 that as he's getting baptized, this incredible experience Jesus has where it says the Holy Spirit descends from heaven upon him like a dove, right? What an experience that he has. And then the chapter wraps up. The very next moment, you see chapter 4, and what's it say? The temptation of Jesus by the devil in the desert. How many know after every dove, there's going to be a devil? And I don't know if we think about that so much, the devil after the dove. I see a lot of people, once they meet Jesus, they think everything's going to be great. But can I tell you, just the fact that you made a decision for Jesus doesn't mean that life is going to get any easier. There will still be struggles. How many know what I'm talking about? There will be a desert, and there will be a devil ready to destroy that dove moment. And what I absolutely want to talk about here today is that you can make it through temptation. Even though temptation is inescapable, check this out. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, it says, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There's two things we can learn right off the bat in reading this passage. Number one, temptation can be endured. It says it right there. God blesses those who patiently endure temptation. We're going to talk about that endure and overcome here in a minute, but that's good news right there. We can endure temptation. The second thing that we can learn immediately by looking at this passage is there is great blessing and there is great reward in doing so. That's a good thing right there. I think part of the blessing and reward of overcoming temptation is just the fact that we win. How many know it feels good to win something? It feels good to win in something. That's a blessing in itself. But Jesus even goes beyond that by saying he's got a blessing for you, for enduring, for overcoming temptation, and he calls it the crown of life. It's mentioned as part of the reward here. Now, I don't know if you've ever studied scripture in the context of crowns, but there are five crowns mentioned in Scripture that are awaiting the believer once they get to eternity. And you've got, number one, you got the everlasting crown. It's a crown called the everlasting crown. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 9:25. And then you have the crown for the one who wins souls. That's mentioned in Philippians and in 1 Thessalonians. Then you got 2 Timothy calls it the crown of righteousness. And then there's the crown of glory mentioned in 1 Peter. And then right here in James 1:12, the crown of life. And this crown of life is also mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And I think part of the difficulty today reading this about the crowns is we don't normally think in crowns, right? I mean, crowns, that's kind of an old school term that was reserved for royalty. It's to sit on the head of a king or a queen or somebody royal. But that's not necessarily what this word is talking about. The word crown and crown of life that is being mentioned here that's waiting for us in the Greek is a word called stephanos, which refers to literally a reward or a laurel wreath. That's what that word crown means in the Greek, a laurel wreath. And you got to understand the culture and the time that it's being written. This is back in the days where the Olympics were primarily in Greece here, the ancient Greek Olympics. And what would happen in the ancient Greek Olympics during the time this was written is the winner of a race or the winner of one of the Olympic sporting contests, the winner was awarded a stephanos, a laurel wreath, a laurel crown. And so it's essentially right here what we see crown of life is used in a reward context. And so if you ever find yourself in temptation, in trials that tempt you, be encouraged to endure. Be encouraged to work through them, to overcome in them, and proceed through them with the strength God has given you. In the same way, and we're about to experience the Summer Olympics here, right? I mean, it's getting ready to happen here very, very soon. As a runner perseveres in that race through the struggles and challenges found in those sporting contests, their goal is to win. Their goal is the gold. And in the same way, you got to understand, Jesus is anticipating putting this crown of life, this reward on your head when you reach your life's finish line after persevering through temptation, through pain, through trials and the like. I don't know if it'll actually be a leaf crown, but I'm telling you, Jesus has something mighty for you that he calls the crown of life. How many think that's pretty cool that Jesus is going to, I mean, I'm talking the nail-scarred Savior is going to put something on your head. That's an amazing thing right there that's waiting for us. We're all tempted, but we all have a way to endure temptation. I want to read a good scripture for you here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says this, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." Somebody in this room needed to hear that right there. "But when you are tempted," and you need to hear this, "he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Let me say this to you this morning, Journey Church. Don't believe the lie that you cannot endure and that you cannot overcome. Don't believe it. How many have ever seen the movie The Nutty Professor, right? The Eddie Murphy version of The Nutty Professor, right? Would you believe that movie came out in 1996, 20 years ago, that movie. That's how old that is. It doesn't even feel like it's even been that long. But The Nutty Professor, the Eddie Murphy version, is its premise starts with Sherman Klump, right? Sherman Klump, this extremely lovable university professor. Yet he is morbidly obese, and he finds himself creating this potion that triggers immediate weight loss. I mean, it is just, it just comes right off in the moment, and he created it in hopes to impress Miss Purdy, right? He wanted to create it to impress Miss Purdy, and the potion is immediately proven to be a bad idea. It's immediately proven to be a detrimental, wrong, and absolutely destructive idea, because although it makes him skinny, it ends up creating buddy love. It ends up creating this alter ego of himself, this prideful, smug, misogynistic, and verifiably insane maniac of a man. And the movie takes us through this war within himself, right? This internal war between Sherman and Buddy, where it's Sherman versus Buddy, as Sherman realizes that Buddy Love is not someone he wants to be at all. Buddy is not someone that he wants representing himself. So he fights and fights and fights to erase Buddy Love from his life's picture. But Sherman's addiction to this potion has made Buddy so strong that it becomes seemingly impossible to shake Buddy Love. Thankfully, Sherman wins in the end. Sorry for the spoiler, but if you haven't seen it by now, it's been 20 years. Amen. But that's us. Temptation is a war fought within ourselves. It is you fighting you. It is Sherman versus Buddy. It is Jekyll versus Hyde. It is your sinful nature fighting your spiritual nature. And the question to be answered is, who do you want representing you in the end? So how do we win in temptation? How do we have victory in temptation? I want to give you four keys that I believe will serve to help you win in, will help you overcome in temptation. First off, winning in temptation requires winning in discipline. Take a look at this clip from The Nutty Professor.
It's the only reason he asked me out.
To make fun of you? Why do we do this to ourselves? Every time we get depressed, we eat and eat and eat. Don't you? You go to the store and you buy those little candy bars in the bag, and before you know it, the whole bag is empty. And then at the end, you feel just like that bag. Empty inside. Don't you? Don't you? It's okay. It's okay. Just get it all out.
I may have ever found yourself in one of those moments before, right? What I love about that scene is how it just brings out such a powerful point, such a powerful parallel, I believe, with what we're talking about here, where you see Sherman, and he's down, he's depressed, and he's reaching the things that are actually destroying him, and he's watching someone on the TV screen teach him the way out, and the way out is not what he is doing, right? He's like, look, you go to the store, and you're trying to fill your life up, right? But in the end, you don't feel full, you feel like that bag empty, right? And what does Sherman do right after that? He nods his head yes. And then what? Takes a huge drink of M&Ms, which looked incredible, but nonetheless, absolutely detrimental to him. What we just saw there was somebody was teaching him, the message was teaching him, but the message wasn't reaching him. There's a difference there. The message was teaching him, but the message wasn't reaching him. God isn't so much interested in your agreement as he is your achievement. Somebody say a good amen. It's very important that we understand what discipline is. He nods his head in agreement, but the action that he takes is a completely different action than what he was taught to take. Discipline requires taking the taught truth you have been given and installing it into your everyday life. That's the nature of discipline. It's saying yes to the good and no to the bad. Amen. And doing that right there requires discipline. Raw discipline. Finding the strength you have, because you do have it in there. Regardless if you don't or not. What did we just read? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that says, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. Meaning you have the strength in you to overcome everything that you find yourself facing. Finding the strength that you have and saying no and living no. I will not have that drink. If you struggle with alcoholism, what was the thing that Kara should not have done? Right? She should have said no, saying, I've got the strength, realizing I've got the strength to say no. I will not go to that website. I will not eat that entire pizza by myself. I will not act out in anger. It is mentally finding the strength in you in that moment and using that strength to fuel you through that temptation. If you win in discipline, you win in temptation. Darren, if you would go back to that previous screen right here. Discipline requires taking the taught truth you've been given and installing it into your everyday life. This right here is a mind war, y'all. That's a battle of the mind. That's a big mind war right there that we so often lose as believers because we're taught truth. For instance, here at Journey Church, you come here to be taught truth, and we are here and we are taught truth, God's life lessons, right, on how we are to live our lives, and we agree with those truths, but we necessarily may not achieve those truths. We are taught those truths, but when it comes to taking those truths home with you, that's another story. Many of us may not see our lives having the strength to live it out. So what do? We leave the truth in the seat. Or many of us, we take the truth home with us and try, but then we fail with it. And then what we do is we allow that failure to tell us we can't do this, to tell us we just can't live this out, to tell us that we can't make this happen. So what do we start to do after that failure? Is we start believing the message that failure is giving us. We start believing that lie, the lie of maybe we were just meant to fail. Maybe we were just meant to not live this truth out. Maybe we don't have it in us to do what God has called us to do. If that's you, let me just say this. First of all, God bless you for trying. And secondly, keep trying. Don't stop trying. Keep going. Let me tell you something. The path to habitually living out truth is a path that we will continually fail after fail. It is failing forward. Don't let the failure paralyze your progress. Keep going even after you fail. Get back up. Proverbs 24:16, what's it say? A righteous man falls 7 times. But what? Gets back up again. The difference in that scripture between the righteous and the wicked isn't that they fell, one fell and the other didn't. They both fell. The difference between the righteous and the wicked is the righteous person got back up. Keep going. Don't believe the lies that your failures will try to preach to you. Listen, doing this discipline is like lighting a fire with flint. Keep striking, keep striking, keep striking until you get a flame. You never get a flame on that first strike. You got to keep going, keep going, keep going, keep hitting, keep striking until a flame begins to be created that ends up enveloping you in a good way. Winning in temptation requires winning in discipline. Number two, winning in temptation demands, and this is a quick but very powerful point here, winning in accessibility. What do I mean when I say that? If it's there, you're setting yourself up for failure. And some of you know what I mean when I say it's. That thing that you struggle with, if it's there, you're setting yourself up for failure, right? What was the problem with Kara at the table? The fact that she was at the table. She made herself accessible to the things that she knew she would find herself making a mistake with. That was her problem. What was the problem here? It was the problem of accessibility. Shouldn't have had it here. You shouldn't have had it here. The problem was accessibility. If it's there, you're setting yourself up for failure. Let me just say this to you. You will severely cut down the amount of temptation you experience if you would cut out the amount of accessibility you have to those things that tempt you. I love, throw me that bag, chips. I love chips. Chips taste like what I believe the kingdom of God would taste like if you could eat it. Like it is just, right? Give me a good chip and some French onion dip. My God in heaven. Like I love it, right? And I just can't eat one. But here's the thing. If you were to go into my pantry, and listen, I can dominate this bag before point number three. I could dominate it. Like I could straight up lay slave to this thing, man. And here's the thing, I got a problem with chips. But here's the deal, you go to my pantry at home, there's 9 of these bags in my pantry. How many would say the problem is the bags of chips in your pantry? If you want to overcome the problem that you have, the problem is a problem of accessibility. If it's there, you're setting yourself up for failure. Here's the point. Remove the things that can easily hurt you. Somebody told me one time they have an anger problem, and they were really upset with their anger problem. Their anger problem made them angry. I mean, they were ticked. And I was like, well, what causes it? What's the main thing? And they're like, man, I'm telling you, every time I see a violent movie, I just get angry. And they're like, how do I overcome my anger? How many know sometimes you can be in your own problem and not even see a way out? It's sometimes blinding. And I'm like, here's the answer, or an answer. Stop. Let's say it together. Watching violent movies, right? Now, it doesn't bother me, but I'm telling you, if that was something that bothered him, that's what he needs to stop doing. It's a big solution to help him overcome the struggles. Many psychologists will tell you accessibility is half the battle to the struggle of temptation. And let me tell you this with accessibility. You have more control than you think. You do in the atmosphere you place around your life. You may not be able to do much about your workplace. But even in there are things that you can control. But you do have control, more control than you think you do. You have control over the atmosphere in your car. You have control over if somebody, you ever had anybody just cut in front of you in the highway? And the first thing to your mind is, man, God, just, I thank you so much for this person. Just bless them. Bless them in incredible ways, right? No. I'll tell you what, though. I've had KC on when somebody's cut me off, and I've had Joy FM on at another time somebody's cut me off. And when I had KC on, Enter Sandman Metallica came on, and something just came on me that wanted me to chase this guy down. He had different state license plates. I was going to follow him to the next state. Like, where? Let's go. Let's go to your home, right? Like, you know, it's just one of those things. The atmosphere, what you have accessible to you in that moment. But in Joy FM, you know, it's a lot easier because you got, God will just put the right song on. Forgive them. Just love them. You know, you're like, and it influences you. It does a good thing right there. You've got control over the atmosphere. You've got control over the atmosphere of your home. You've got control over the atmosphere of your schedule. You've got control over your finances. You choose most of the time what you make accessible to yourself. Win in accessibility and you win in temptation. I don't want anybody thinking that Kara's an alcoholic over here, all right? I just mentioned her twice. Thirdly, winning in temptation demands winning in accountability. And here's what I mean when I say that. If you could, Beth, Cindy, and Val, stand up. Like, I have a problem with chips. I've shared it. And I need help with those chips. Like, I just can't eat them at the level that I eat them anymore. I can't do it. So I need you to help me out. So I need you to watch me, right? You don't got to watch me 24/7, because that would be weird. However, watch me, though. Like, put eyes on me. Call me. Check in on me. Stop by. Make sure that I am not losing the battle with those wavy lays. Make sure that I am not losing. I give you permission to call me out and hold me up. I give you permission to lay into me if I'm not doing that. Will you help me? Now, I'm not really doing that, right? It's just for the sake of the sermon. You know what I'm saying? It's not real, so don't hold me accountable. But you know what I'm saying? Hold me accountable, because I need help. Yeah, you really are going to stop by. Amen. Right? Thank you so much, ladies. Let me tell you what you just saw. And you guys sit down. Thank you so much. What you just saw was something that every believer in this room needs to be doing. Because what you just saw was an illustration that shows power that is found in other people. There is power to a circle of people who care about your spiritual progress. There is absolute power to that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. That's found. Encouragement and being built up is found through the gateway of other people right there in that scripture. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Man, James is a good book on temptation anyway. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says this. Confess your sins to one another. Now that messes some Protestants up. Because we're like, oh, I don't need to be confessing my stuff to nobody but God. Anybody that says, I'm only going to confess my sins to God, probably struggling in temptation pretty bad. Right? That ain't your business. That's nobody's business but me and God. Let me tell you something. This right here says that we need to include other people in our business, particularly those areas of life that we struggle with. Confess your sins. Of course, confess them to God, but it doesn't say here, confess them to God alone. It says, confess them to one another. And then there's prayer that comes into that confession. And then look at the results, that you may be healed. What is the definition of healed? What does that word mean? The word healed means victory over a wound or a weakness that is hurting you. Victory over a wound or a weakness that is hurting you. And the route to that healing is found in what other people can provide. Think about that just for a second. And I want to say that. Quit thinking that you can do this alone. Quit it. Quit thinking that you can do this alone. And let me just say this. If the circle of people you have around your life are not calling you out on your need to grow as a person, then scratch that circle. Scratch them, man. Scratch that group of people and get a circle. Get a group of people around you who care about your God-given purpose. Come on, somebody say a good amen. Give people permission to call you out and hold you up. It's not optional for victory. It's required if you want victory. Man, that's one of the biggest lies the enemy can give us, is to make us think we can do this alone. He wants to get you alone. He wants to isolate you. Isn't that what we normally do the moment we get into a struggle? We clam up, close the shell, and build the walls. Because he wants to keep you there. Accountability is so important. And number four and last point here, last key. Winning in temptation requires winning in prayer and his word. Can I just say this? Prayer is the greatest fueling station you can have available to you. Listen to me. In the moment of temptation. There's nothing like it. I mean, when you're in the moment. You know what I'm saying when I say you're in the moment where it's hard and you're about to fall to what it is you know is going to hurt you. You know that making this decision is going to bring no good to your life. When you're in that moment, when you're at the weakest, it is the greatest fueling station available to you, prayer. I have been in a place before where I have just been ready to lash out and lose it. Like, and just lose it. You know what I'm saying when I say that? It's just, and I went to pray, and I didn't lose it. I didn't lash out. Because there's, I don't know what it is. It's the spiritual nature of what prayer does. God just literally, because you're giving him that opportunity, he takes that anger from you, man. Now, I've also been to the point where I've wanted to lash out, and I didn't pray, and guess what I did? I lashed out. stressed out because I held on to it. I didn't give it up to him. Prayer is the greatest fueling station that you can have in the moment of temptation. And this right here, that's what I'm saying. It's not just winning in prayer. It's also winning in his word, winning in your Bible. Because this right here is so ridiculously powerful, it's not even fair. It's not even fair to the enemy how powerful this word is right here. And I'm not saying, you know, that you have to read a million chapters a day to win in Scripture. Because you just don't have to read a million chapters a day. But pick it up every day and commit to something. Even if it's just a verse. I mean, ingest as much as you can. But even if there's a verse that sticks out to you, just stop and stare at that verse. And stare at it. And meditate on it. And stare at it some more. And find determination while you're staring at that verse that I'm going to make this part of my day. I'm going to install this in my actions today. I'm going to make this happen today. I am going to live what I just read out today. And if you do that, you will begin to see how to overcome in temptation. Right? Even in the moment, I promise you that. Prayer and his word are so important when it comes to winning in temptation because they both allow you to view things from his perspective and not your own. It allows you to view things from a different viewpoint. And what do I mean when I say that? When I was a youth pastor in Arizona, oh my goodness, 13 years ago I moved out there. And when we were out there, Arizona isn't really known for its grass. Just doesn't, you don't have grass in Arizona much at all. And so we had rocks in our yard. Like everybody had rocks. And so you wouldn't go out and mow the grass, you'd go out and rake your rocks, you know, because you just created designs with a rake. And that's what everybody did. And I lived in this area where I was walking when we moved there, and I saw this field of grass. And I was like, oh, grass, you know, because I'm from the Midwest. It's like, what? I miss grass. Like you miss green. And I remember I saw this grasshopper in the grass. And I hadn't seen a grasshopper since I moved. I was like, look, it's a grasshopper. Of course it's in the grass because it's a grasshopper. I get it. You know, and I saw this grasshopper. And then the grasshopper went down below into the grass. And I'm like, I'm going to chase this little fella. So I'm like getting on my knees to the grass. How many just know this isn't the weirdest looking guy you'd ever see when you're driving by on the road right now? It's just like, I'm just like, there's nobody in the lawn. It's just me. And I remember I got down in the area where I thought the grasshopper was. And it was pretty deep grass. And I remember I get down and I was like, whoa! I couldn't even believe what I saw in that moment. Like I saw all these bugs and I saw, it was like this whole environmental atmosphere with all this other life. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like the only thing I can describe that, it was like a whole new world that was just unfolded to me. You know what I'm saying? It was just wow. Just couldn't even believe what I was seeing. And look at that. I'm singing into the grass. How many know, man, this dude is smoking something at this point right now. But I mean, I'm like looking and I see it. And I saw the grasshopper and I'm like, why are you down here, grasshopper? And then I saw what the grasshopper was after. And I saw all these ants. And these ants were running as fast as little ant legs could take them from the grasshopper. And I'm like, I didn't know Bug's Life was a true story. Like, this is crazy. And so I'm like, run. And these little ants, man, they are just running as fast as they can. But they're running to the right. And the right, man, there is nowhere for them to go. But I'm like, run to the left. Because there's a hole down there that is big enough for the ant, but not big enough for the grasshopper. And I'm screaming, go left. Go left, little ants. Go left. And they're not going left. And I'm screaming, come on, come on, come on, come on. And the ant... they got eaten by the grasshopper, man. I'm like, no, you know. How many like to drive by and see that right there on the grass? Like, man, that is what's wrong with society right there. Amen. What am I trying to say? I have no idea. Oh, yeah, I know what I'm saying. Yeah. When you pray, when you are in His Word, He allows you to see life from His perspective, because so often we find ourselves not being able to see the solution from the ground level. But when you pray, when you get into His Word, you are viewing your life and your situation from His chair, and He's saying, go left, go right, don't do that, because He sees a way around your snare. He sees a way around your trap. He sees a way for you to get through your enemy even when you can't. How many are thankful for the perspective we get from prayer and His Word? Amen. His Word guards you from destruction. That's what God is doing, looking in our world. Go left when we can't see it. That's why it's so important to win in prayer. That's why it's so important to win in His Word. Because it allows you to view your life from His position. Psalms chapter 119, verses 105. Verse 105 says this. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to guide whose feet? My feet. It's a light for whose path? Your path. And I first read that and I was like, why do my feet need a lamp? Right? Why does my path need a light? Because it's dark out there. When you're in the grass of life and you can't see past what it is that you're facing, He does. And He shines a light on where you need to go. And let me just say this. God every time will see what you can. Every time. Let me just say this, Journey Church, as we close. You can win. Somebody needed to hear that today. You can win every time. You can overcome every time. You can beat you every time. You can win this internal war we so often face within ourselves. This internal war we so often face within ourselves. I love the final scene of Nutty Professor. Take a look at this.
It's too late, fat boy. It's over. Let go. Let go.
Hey!
I give it up, fat boy! It's over!
It ain't over to the fat professor sings!
Let go of my hand. Say one more word, buddy, I'll tear your arm off! Time for me take nasty plunge!
Sherman, don't do this. You need me.
No, I don't.
Blubber butt.
Fellow Wake,
somebody better call an exorcist.
Sherman, you can't beat me.
Somebody better call an exorcist. How many know that's you sometimes, right? Where you are just fighting you so bad. Where you're one way one day and another way the other day, and you just seem like two completely different people, because we are, right? And sometimes your life's battling so hard, it's just like, somebody better call an exorcist, because I am fighting this war, and it's so hard to fight. But it was the last statement we just heard on that movie. And how many know, somebody told me yesterday, or it was a couple weeks ago when we did this, I'm never going to view any of these movies the same anymore. Like, it's just we've changed the way we view these movies now. But I love the last line that we just heard Buddy Love say to Sherman, and he said this. He screamed it, "You can't beat me." And I feel like some of you hear that a lot from your flesh. You can't beat me. can't beat me. I'm too powerful. I'm too strong. I've been with you. You can't beat me. Don't believe that lie, because God's word says you can. And I'm here to tell you today, you can win. I'm here to tell your marriage today, it can win. I'm here to tell your parenting today, you can win. Some of you are here and you have been hurt. And that wound has been screaming what you just heard Buddy Love scream to Sherman. Let me just tell you, you can win through what it is that you're inside of right now. You can win. Temptation is when the enemy tries to defeat you using you. That's why it's so powerful. And so if anything today, Journey Church, let's close this experience here today. I want to ask our communion teams and our deacons if they would to come. But can we just in this moment right now just close our eyes? Just close our eyes. And I'm not going to ask you to scream this statement, okay? I'm not even going to ask you to vocalize it at a level where your neighbor hears it. But just under the whisper of your breath, just say three words that maybe you haven't said in a while. And it's this: I can win. I can win. And the reason I'm telling you to say that, and don't just say it once, just repeat it over and over and over again in this moment. The reason I'm asking you to do that is because your life follows your words. And start speaking blessing over the strength you have in your life instead of over the weakness you have in your life. Start speaking blessing over your future instead of cursing over your future. I can win. I can win. I can win. Go on, make that spiritual declaration right now. Be the Sherman in the room and not the buddy in the room. Be the spiritual nature of yourself and ignore the sinful nature right now. And start winning that war, and that war often begins right here in just a moment of willful discipline by saying yes to the good and no to the bad. I can win. I can win. I can win. I feel like some lives are really getting rocked right now. Good way, as determination is just flooding into the doorway of your heart. Some of you, for the first time in a long time, you're swinging a sword that God has been waiting for you to swing. Now, I want you, just with your eyes closed, just to, in your mind's eye right now, just begin to picture those things that you struggle with. And you know what they are. Those things that drag you down. Those tempting times you always find yourself in. Whatever it is, just picture it in your mind. Maybe it's more than a few things. Maybe you just got to set a couple of them right there. Just focus on that right now for a second. And now with that in your mind's eye, just say these words: I can win. Come on, I can win with those things in my view. I can win. They will not win. I will win. I can win. I can win. I can win. Father, I thank you right now for just the declarations that are coming right now out of the mouths of your people, out of the hearts of